Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I feel like being blocked by Okay, no, I'll say that again.
Maybe the babies can eat a steak. Welcome to the Mannequin Life. I'm Poppy.
And I'm Beata.
And this is the podcast that nobody asked for, but everybody needs.
As always, before beginning the episode, we would like to acknowledge that my half of this podcast is written and recorded on unceded and unsurrendered Mi'kmaq territory. To support your local Indigenous community, please consider donating to organizations who are providing essential care. Examples, if you are living in Ottawa, are the Ottawa Native Friendship Center, Wabanaw, and Minwashan Lodge.
Well, I think we should start with, like, sad news. So, as many people who listen to this podcast, like you, probably either knew Brian Fraser or knew of Brian Fraser. He was like a very important member of our community, and he passed away this past week. I think, I mean, I can speak for both of us and say that we will miss him very much. And it's been really amazing to see how he handled his illness and, you know, how much he's done for Canadian Blood Services while he was struggling, and how open he was and how brave he was. And I'm really sad.
Yeah. And we talked about this before we started recording and far into it, but like, yeah, I just want to send my condolences to his family and to, you know, all of his friends. And we were both saying that, like, it's really nice that we have this community that's all kind of grieving him at once. And so we're able to talk to each other about it. I have appreciated all of the tributes that have gone out. I got very emotional about the Sens acknowledging it, and like all the players sharing the post on Instagram and stuff.
Our condolences are with everyone who knew Brian and who loved him. And it's nice to know that a lot of us are in this together. But I feel like now we're talking about something that Brian did love, which was the Sens absolutely destroying our rivals.
Whatever is happening with the Sens right now, oh my god, like, it's been about a month since our last episode, we're sorry, we tried to do it more, we try to record more frequently, it doesn't always happen, but, you know, last month we were saying, like, man, the Sens are so bad, like, this is, you know, they're just gonna lose every game, and they turned it around, and they destroyed the Habs, and then they, of course, like, came back from down 5-1 against the Leafs, which was incredible. Like, the Sens have not been winning many games this season, but the games that they do win, they, like, they pick their moments.
They pick the ones that, like, count. Like, they'll destroy the Habs, they'll destroy the Leafs, and they did an incredible, like, 6-1 against the Flames, which is, like, you know, we love the Kachucks playing each other. I mean, I think all of us are, you know, that picture of the Kachuk family wearing the half-Flame, half-Sens jerseys. That's every single one of us. Like, it's the best rivalry.
Is it, though? Is it? I think we're mostly on the Sens side here. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but come on, I love them. I love that sibling rivalry.
I have recapped a lot of these really fun wins. It's pretty nice. It's funny because, like, when I first started writing for Silver 7, it was sort of an inside joke that I would always end up recapping, like, the really awful losses. And, like, you know, I was known for, like, every time the Sens just got, like, completely destroyed, I would, like, roast them in the recap. And then now the tables have turned and I'm just getting all the really fun wins. Anyways, yeah, I recapped that 5-1 game against Toronto, and I just, like, one thing that I've been thinking about with that game is that the Leafs do something like this about every year. There's sort of the annual, like, Leafs loss that's really embarrassing. You know, obviously there was the 4-1 loss. There was, like, was it 9-0 against the Sabres a while ago. There was the David Ayers game. Like, some are worse than others, but there's usually, like, one game a season where the Leafs just, like, really embarrass themselves. And as Sens fans, we always enjoy this so much. We're used to kind of watching from the sidelines and, like, celebrating this the way that we would celebrate a Sens win. Like, that's sort of the joke, that, like, we celebrate Leafs losses the way we celebrate Sens wins. And it was so incredible to, like, finally play the role of the team delivering that loss. You know, we're so used to watching from the sidelines, and it's like, finally the Sens get to do it themselves, and like, no fan base could possibly enjoy this type of game more than the Sens fans did.
It's truly like, it's like, I can't even put into words how enjoyable it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, amazing, and I said this before, but like, knowing that the Habs are always considered, knowing that the Leafs have, like, been considered kind of at the top of the Canadian division, and then just, like, watching them be destroyed by arguably one of the worst teams in the league, it's so satisfying. And it's one of those things where, like, we say this constantly, I don't think any of us expect the Sens to, like, win the Stanley Cup, so we just care about, you know, beating our rival teams. And it feels great.
Yeah, and technically, I guess there are two teams the losing record against the Sens now, but, like, the Flames have only played one game as of the recording of this podcast. If the Sens completely embarrass the Flames, like, right after we finish recording, like, you know, this will be, you know, dated a little bit, but, you know, the Habs, aside from the Flames, are the only team with a losing record against the Sens right now, which is so funny. And the fact that we got Claude Julien fired for a second time, because we did it in 2015 too, when the Bruins fired him.
I think the Sens are too good. I think this is proof that the Sens are maybe too good. Maybe Claude Julien wasn't doing a bad job. Maybe we were just doing a really good job.
But, like, even if they're terrible, it's so funny because the Leafs and Habs keep losing to them.
Oh, it's literally incredible. It's, like, so funny. And also knowing, you know, I think that the fan bases from both teams kind of go into these games usually expecting to win. Mm-hmm. Whereas we don't. We're just, like, like, we just love to suffer. So we are truly sickos. Like, truly. Exactly.
No, it's so much fun. And, like, I love that. It feels like for the first time since about 2017, the Sens have a sort of team identity. And that's another thing that I've kind of been thinking about, because, you know, the team that existed from about, like, I'd say 2013 to 2017, it wasn't on paper the best team, but, you know, they won the games that mattered. They had those, like, crazy comebacks. They won lots of overtime games. They had a whole bunch of reclamation projects on the roster too, a bunch of, you know, guys who were drafted really late or who, you know, didn't do well on other teams. And it had just a really, really strong team identity. There was also, unfortunately, a lot of tragedy surrounding that team, right? And it was an easy team to root for. And I think that was one of the things that was really difficult about this sort of teardown that happened in 2018, because we really did love that team a lot. And it felt like we just lost that team identity. And so it's been, like, absolutely incredible to watch that attitude sort of come back with a new twist on it, right? Like, now we have all these young players who are living together and having fun, and, like, they're all great friends. And also, like, it's a team that will lose to, like, every team in the division except Toronto and Montreal. And, like, every time they win, they make it count, right?
Yeah, I think there's so much to say about having a team with personality. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, sports are just entertainment. Obviously, you want to be rooting for a team that's actually good. But if my team's not going to be good, at least, I mean, ideally, I'd like it to be good and to have a personality. But I can pick either or as well. Like, I'm fine with that. So exactly. It's nice. You know, it gives the fans something to enjoy. If, you know, if we're going to be rooting for a losing team, at least I want to be rooting for a losing team where I'm like, stoked about Colin White's comeback, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
confirmed, because I put Colin White. I dropped Derek Brassard for the first time in my entire time playing fantasy hockey. I dropped Derek Brassard so that I could acquire Colin White. And he suddenly he's in the roster. And suddenly he is just scoring. I mean, two goals in the last game. Yeah.
Man.
Okay. I would say that maybe manifesting works. Maybe the girls who were into The Secret are correct.
Maybe. I mean, you can't really argue with that evidence, can you?
No, yeah, I think this is scientific. This is a scientific trial.
I think Twitter user Finnegan's Ghost said it really well, where he said, "I appreciate that the Sens either win to embarrass or not at all."
It is truly like the MO. I've been really enjoying this. I mean, I not to brag, but I got a job. So I'm not really watching games because they are very late and I have to get up very early. But it's like I'm like back to my absolute like Sens obsession roots where I'm like watching recaps. I wake up at 5 a.m. and I check the score. Like it's truly depressing, maybe, but also very fun.
Yeah, and like I won't lie, that period between like 2018 and, you know, the beginning of 2021, like it was really, really rough to watch this team. And I was, and you know, as anyone who read some of my articles on Silver 7 might have been able to tell, like, I was struggling with wondering if I would ever be as into hockey as I had been up until 2017. Like, I really thought that I had just lost the, like, passion for hockey because this team had, like, betrayed me so much. And I was like, oh, is it just because I'm, like, getting older and, you know, have different interests now? And I just feel like I'm right back where I was in 2017 now, which is so much fun. And I love that this team has also provided us with this much fun even when they're losing. Like, I keep making comparisons to the Hamburglar run, but that's kind of what it was like, where it was like, this team was never good, but, like, what team, like, has such a fun season where they, like, just barely make the playoffs, you know? Like, what team has a run that epic where you're like, this is one of the greatest runs in team history, and, like, literally they just made the playoffs and then lost in, like, 5 games?
I think you're making a really good point there as well with the drop-off of, like, you know, people like you, people who I know who have podcasts about the Senators, who write about the Senators, you know, who people who I know who've been blogging about the Sens for over 10 years were like, I don't want to interact with this, or I don't want to, you know, throw myself behind this team anymore. Which, you know, on the one hand, I don't know, maybe this is me, but I was like, okay, maybe these people are being like a little bit dramatic. Like, it's fine to dip in and out of a hobby, that happens. But I think there's something to say about how the team handled things that kind of really led to this sentiment where you're just like, I don't enjoy this anymore. And that's a thing, you know, like you don't have to stick to your sports team through thick and thin. You can say, I don't enjoy this hobby anymore, and you can drop this hobby. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't change the world. And so it's quite impressive of them to be like, you know, okay, we've, like, created an environment where, you know, fans are raising money for a Melnick outbuild board, and the bloggers are all, like, quitting, and, you know, people are deleting their Sens Twitter accounts on, and, like, you know, it was, like, wild, and now get back to an environment where we're excited about the game, even though, you know, we're not exactly winning. That is really nice. And I think that like the social media person's coming into their own. I think we've noticed that recently. Like,
well, yeah, without that Sensico picture, did you see it?
That was so good. Just like the tiniest like photoshopped in. That was so good. Yeah. I think that like that is the kind of thing that we're excited about. And I think that having players who just like talk about, you know, I mean, we're all kind of obsessed about the Brady, Josh Norris, Stützle household. But, you know, hearing these guys talk about just, like, their lives and, like, you know, what they're up to and being just really sweet about each other as well. Like, I mean, there's always some, like, gentle, you know, joking about each other. But they're, like, they seem to be really good friends. And it's easy to cheer for that. It's easy to, like, be excited and enjoy that kind of news and that kind of content. And I think it's just, you know, given as like a complete 180 as a fan base, we're still a great fan base for infighting. I mean,
shout out to Colin Cudmore, who got like dunked on for saying that Tim Stützle has bad advanced stats. I felt so bad.
That was so funny. I mean, I mean, this is a no stats podcast. This is a, you know, this is the anti Colin Cudmore. God, I just said Colin's name wrong. I called him Colin Cudmore.
This is the anti Colin podcast. Oh no.
I mean, personally, I think he's a wonderful person. I really like him.
Yeah, just want to clarify, like, Colin Cudmore is one of my best Twitter friends. Like, I talk to him offline all the time. Poppy knows him too. If you're listening, Colin, you're great.
No, no, it's not the anti-Colin podcast in that we hate him. It's the anti-Colin podcast in that we have the exact opposite approach to hockey.
And that's always... Colin and I started writing at Silver 7 at the same time, and it's been kind of a joke where, like, we have just exact opposite content that we provide. But we make a great team, yeah.
And but, you know, like, that's kind of funny, and it's like, it's one of those things, you know? I mean, it's kind of funny to be like, Colin, shut up, we're enjoying this. It's another thing to, like, start beef on Twitter.com. Like, you're literally adults, you know, grow up and stop it. Sometimes I'm like, my guys, it's truly, like, embarrassing. But, you know, as a fan base, we're still great at fighting, but I think that's any sports fan base. Maybe we should chill a little bit. It's just my opinion. Just my opinion. But, you know. Oh, that being said, though, a certain Sunwriter has blocked us on Twitter.com.
I don't know why he blocked me. I did make fun of him for a while, a few weeks before he blocked me. And then he blocked me and then went and blocked the Melnikan account, too.
I'm obsessed with the idea that he went on your account. And then, like, blocked, like, I bet he's blocked Fangirlish as well. Like, he's blocked every account, like, that you're linked with. But then he didn't, like, he went on those accounts and blocked them. But then, even though in our podcast description, it has both of us tagged, he did not take the extra step. It's like, I'm not going to name names. We all know who I'm talking about. But it's like, my dude, what are you doing? Why are you putting so much funny. Effort into this?
I feel like being blocked by this unnamed Ottawa Sun writer is a big Sens Twitter, like, milestone, so I feel kind of proud of that, to be honest. Like, I think that being proud of being blocked is, like, cringe. You shouldn't do it. I don't like that culture, but this was kind of funny.
I think it's, I mean, like, I'm never gonna get blocked, but I also don't follow him and don't interact with his content because, I could literally consume any other Sans writer on the internet, and I would not miss his hashtag great coverage reveal. So, you know, but anyway, speaking of Twitter beef, I thought it was really important to let everybody know that, you know, we did get blocked by one person we know of. I don't know who else is. We've probably been blocked by many people, but... That's probably just
If you haven't blocked us, why?
That's probably just self-preservation. Okay. I feel like that's such a tangent. But wonderful news is that both Drake Batherson and Josh Norris are improving their German. Happy to hear this.
I love the little updates on, like, they talk to Stützle and he's like, yeah, they keep speaking German to me and, like, trying to improve their German. It's very cute. One thing I do want to say, though, is we have a player on this team who does not speak English. Why is nobody learning Russian for Zub? Like, we have, like, three Russian-speaking players and, like, I feel like the team should be learning Russian. Stützle speaks English. You don't need to learn German for him. Like, I know that Batherson and Norris, they both, like, already speak a little bit of German and they're working on it. It makes sense. But Artem Zub knows at least 30 words in English. I want every player on the Senators to know at least 30 words in Russian. They need to match him.
I took Russian for a year, and I can already teach people some very important sentences. I can say, Ya lublu tansovat na diskoteka. I like to dance in the disco. Nice. Ya lublu pit vodku na savtrak. I like to drink vodka for breakfast. And Minya zavut Poppy. My name is Poppy. So I already speak sentences. More Russian than, like, a lot of the Ottawa Senators players. Mm-hmm. Not to brag. I feel like they should at least learn how to say... You can say ochen kharasho, which means very good. I feel like they should learn to say that so that they can say to Zoom.
just over and over again. Just like, very good. Yes.
Yeah.
They just need to learn how to compliment him. That's all I want. I want them to, like, learn really, really nice things to say to Zoom.
I feel like he's there to stay as well. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. he's gonna learn English. And, you know, not to be a little bit biased, but I do think learning English is easier than learning Russian because their grammar is... intense. But I feel like I hope that people are at least learning how to say, like, you know, small sentences. I do think it's funny to imagine that, like, he basically needs like one of his teammates to translate all the time.
I know, I love that. It's so cute.
That must be a lot. That must be so stressful. And, like, from my experience learning languages and being immersed in languages is so exhausting when you're constantly surrounded by a foreign language. So he must be, like, mentally exhausted from that, and yet he's playing incredibly. So I hope we keep Artyom Zub forever, or at least for a long time.
I also love that there's just been this sort of, like, the way Sens Twitter talks about Zub is, like, very weird, like, to any outsider. We've just decided that, like, he's a cult leader now. I love it. It's amazing. I am fully on board. But I like that Zub is clearly very confused about this because there's no way he understands any of it. Like, he literally doesn't speak English. And, like, I hope that this gets big enough that it reaches the team and he, like, finds out about it and is just really confused. I don't know. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hope that he at least realizes that he's being applauded, I guess, that, like, the fan base enjoys him. I do think it's fun when people are just like, Zub, like, that's it. That's the tweet.
Exactly.
Because that's all you need to say. He is quite impressive. A thing that I'm obsessed with, personally, is that Ryan Dezingle is coming back. I love Ryan Dezingle. I think he has, like, a face that, like, this is so weird, but, like, he has this face where I'm like, whenever you're on any other team, I want to, like, punch you, but if you're on my team, you're the most lovable person in the world. I feel the same way about Brady Tkachuk. There's just something about him.
I don't see that about Dezingle, though. I just find that he seems very, like, cheerful. I don't know. He's like...
Oh, but that's the problem, Beata. If he's on another team, what are you smiling about? What are you smiling about? What are you so happy about, being a jerk? But if he's on my team...
But he's not a jerk. Amazing. He just seems really sweet. Like, I look at him and I'm like, aw, that's a nice guy, you know? Like, he just seems like he's happy to be here, and he seems very kind, and, like, he wouldn't punch you in the face. Whereas Brady Tkachuk, I look at him and I'm like, yes, yeah, he would punch me in the face, you know?
Yeah. Ryan Dezingle has good vibes. I'm excited. I mean, one of my favorite pictures of all time was when Ryan Dezingle was in the same plane as
it was Duchesne and his, and like,
Matt
his Duchesne, dogs,
yeah, it was like
right?
Matt Duchesne and his family and, like, Ryan Dezingle in the backseat.
Ryan Dezingle. I loved that. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that, actually. That was incredible.
It is ingrained in my brain because it was like, I really liked Duchesne, I liked Dezingle, and so it was like a big loss for me, and then seeing them in their plane, it was like, and they were looking so happy, and I felt a loss. Nobody, it's like Derek Brassard, nobody cared about the Duchesne trade as much as I did. Like, it really hurt me. So, I'm very, like, excited for this.
Yeah, and he's a fun player to watch. It'll be nice. 100%.
It's kind of nice to get, like, a quote-unquote vintage Senator back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that'll be fun.
One down, now we gotta bring in the rest of the team, right?
Are we gonna get
Hey, San Jose seems pretty unhappy with Carlson right now.
Imagine if Carlson was just like, you know how I always joke about Cody Ceci dismantling all the rival teams from the inside? Imagine if Carlson's doing that, and then like he'd come back to Ottawa and he'd be the best player we've had again for the second time. That would be really funny.
But
maybe he just really wants to go back. I mean, he does live in Ottawa in the summer, right?
I think like most of a lot of that 2017 team lives in Ottawa during the summer. Although who knows if Mark Stone's house will be intact in time for him to come back. It kind of seems like it's just been taken over by the younger generation of Senators.
Oh man, we never discussed that Mark Stone's now the captain, right?
I think we did.
No, I think it like was announced just after we left.
That was a while ago. Yeah, it was really nice to see him. Like I was very emotional about it. He should have been the captain of the Sens and all that. But it's nice to see him being appreciated in Vegas.
Yeah, I feel like Vegas is... I mean, it's easy to like be like Vegas is tacky, but I think they seem like a really fun market to play in, so I'm happy
those gold helmets? Those fit Mark Stone's personality perfectly. I love that.
Yeah. I think he's a cutie. I'm happy for him, but I'm also like, man... It's always so bittersweet to see that happen. What's not bittersweet, and which also includes a vintage senator who was also on that team, is that Mark Mathot is now a, like, certified hockey Twitter Sen sicko.
I love this. Like, and he's been in on the memes and everything. Like, he loves Artem Zub. He was trolling the Leafs hashtag a while ago. Yeah. And, like, it's actually kind of, it's also really cool to hear his, like, insight. Because it's like, he's tweeting like he's one of the fans, but sometimes, you know, the Sens will do something and he's like, oh yeah, that's a really difficult move to make. Or like, oh, I really like this aspect of Zoom's game. Or of course he was like, this is why you need Haley in the lineup so that he can like intimidate all the other players, right? Like it's kind of interesting to get the insight of a former player. And obviously like, you know, there are tons of former players in the media and everything, but I don't know. It just feels different having just a former player like live tweeting us.
I totally agree. I think it's so charming. I love how, like, seamlessly he's slipped in to Sen's Twitter. It gives me, it makes me once again create a conspiracy theory in my head where he's been following Sen's Twitter for, like, years, and that's why he knows all the memes, and he knows exactly what he's doing.
But it's also, it's weird to see, to realize that the players know what's happening in the fan base. Like he referenced the like no respect thing from 2013, and I was like, wait, the players knew that that was a meme? Right? Like they know what's happening. Well, you weren't around. yeah, I also love that he chose the Sens over any other team that he played for. Like, I know he's from Ottawa, so it makes sense, but it's like, oh man, he still cheers for us. That's nice.
Yeah, it's been really fun. And as you said, like, the insight is obviously, like, amazing. It's fun to hear what other players have to say. I think we don't really get that much because the players do tend to sort of stick to themselves. Hockey's, like, not that much of a personality sport. It doesn't usually... Most of the time, we don't really feel like the players have much of a chummy relationship with the fan base, I think. They always feel, like, sort of... you know, once removed, and if there is contact with the fans, it's always through the team. So it's exciting and, like, kind of fun to just watch it and see him interact with people. I mean, he's interacted with people before. Remember, he, like, told us he didn't care about mascots, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope that post-pandemic, Mark Mathot will be, like, at Lieutenant's Pump with us watching the draft, you know?
Hey, at the Zoom draft party... Chris Neal told me that he wanted to show up to a Sens Twitter meetup, so we might get several former senators. Who knows?
That will be so fun. I want Chris Neal and Mark Mathot, and who am I manifesting? I mean, obviously Carlson would be, like, amazing. I'm manifesting, like...
I feel like we need retired players.
Yeah, that's tricky.
Daniel Alfredsson.
Oh my god. Okay, if Alfredsson showed up to a meetup, I would... pee myself. I was like, should I say this on the podcast? And then I was like, yeah, I should.
Yeah, and I also hope that these senators, like, I am waiting for the Sen Sicko meme to actually reach the players. Like, It's already totally reached the has. Team. It's reached the team. It's reached the media. And the next step is for a player to, like, post a, you know, a post-game Instagram and have the caption be something about the sickos. I think we're almost there. Maybe after this game.
I think the young guys are definitely aware of it. Like, Tim Stützle is very online. Will Lannan is very online. I feel like, you know, they've definitely gotten it. I can't remember who tweeted that meme, but it was like a picture of Tim Stützle, and then it was like German Google search results that were just like, yeah. What does sicko mean in German?
Yeah. I feel like it just perfectly matches Brady's personality, and so I'm like waiting for Brady Tkachuk to embrace it, because I just feel like that is like exactly his type of thing. He is the ultimate sense sicko, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like in the Chet and Luke podcast, they used to refer to people who, like, I guess we would now call sickos as haters. You know what I mean? Like, they used to be like, oh, the way that, like, JG Peugeot plays, like, that's a sicko. That's a hater.
Yeah. Oh, I keep thinking about how well JG Peugeot would fit with this team, and, like, that makes me so sad all the time. Like, he would be so, like, so good. Not that there's, like, really a role for him on this team, to be honest. Like, I can understand that, like, he doesn't really slot into the lineup anywhere right now, but, man, he would really fit this team identity.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, sickos is basically the new haters, and I love that for us. And also, I love an opportunity to once again bring up the Chet and Luke podcast, which I will miss for the rest of my life. Okay, so speaking of, like, the sickos... Oh, like the young players. I titled my Mark Stone's house Stonehenge in here.
That's what it is. I was wondering why you said Stonehenge, but yes, that makes perfect sense. Okay, we need to make this a thing now. It's the Stonehenge. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want to write Stone's house, but there was a recent interview that Brady did with Sportsnet, and he talked about the house obviously a lot. He talked about the game. He talked about losing his teeth. Which is, like, I'm amazed that it didn't happen sooner. I mean, honestly, Brady, apparently this was, like, one of the few cases where he was actually wearing his mouth guard, and so,
that makes, like, they so managed, much funnier.
It's so gross. They managed to, like, I guess it's practical, but also gross. Apparently they managed to, like, save some of his teeth because they were, like, stuck in the mouth guard. Mm-hmm. Disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that works, but that's what he said. I'm, like, disgusting. Anyway. Brady lost some teeth, but that's just vibes. And he was talking about just, like, the household, obviously, and apparently Josh Norris keeps making steak. I love that.
So, I love that he's making steak specifically because, like, for anyone who maybe is not totally up to date on the memes, there was this very, very famous Guy Boucher, I think it was Boucher, quote back in 2017 about Thomas Chabot drawing into the lineup where he was like, you know, he's not going to play that much, you know, we're not going to give him too much responsibility. Do you feed steak to a baby? So now, like, literally, I just associate steak with, like, players getting more responsibility. And since that's kind of, you know, the feeding steak to a baby is kind of the vibe that we're going for this season, right? Like, they're all babies. They're being fed their steak. They're, you know, out for overtime and, you know, for the last few minutes of a game. So it's nice that in their house, they are literally making steak. They are eating steak. I don't know. I just love that.
No, 100%. They're literally giving steak to the babies. It's so fun. I think it's, like, funny as well, because before they interviewed Stützle when he just moved in, and they were like, oh, Josh Norris is supposed to be the cook in the house, and he was like, yeah, I have no idea about that.
Yeah.
Like, he's not done, like, anything
no,
impressive.
No, he doesn't cook. Brady's girlfriend does all the cooking, and then we order takeout.
Yeah. So apparently he's back. Apparently Stützle is messy, which is really funny to me because he's the only German in the house.
Yeah, I was thinking that was funny.
Really going against the culture. He is also a 19-year-old boy, though, so I think mm-hmm. being a messy 19-year-old boy, like, transcends nationality and cultures. And also, apparently, Josh Norris had to, like, wake him up from a nap so that they made it to a game on time. Because he, like, just loves to sleep, which is so funny.
I love the image of Stutzla just like he plays out of his mind every game. He works so hard in practice, and he just comes home and he sleeps. Like that's all he does. He just sleeps and plays hockey. Yeah.
I think it's lovely. And then Brady also talked about like just in general the sort of relationship that the players have, and it sounded really delightful. Everybody's like likes each other a lot, and he like referred to Stutzla as somebody who's just like such a like chill, happy-go-lucky guy, and that was like so nice to have on the team. I think that's really lovely. And you know, he also talks about talking to his brother every single day, which is adorable.
I love it. And like, we should also talk about how Sens Twitter has just decided that we want Matthew Tkachuk on the team. And I don't know, like, I know the Flames are like looking at making some big roster moves. I don't know how strong the rumors are about Matthew Tkachuk, like if that's actually something they're looking at, but I keep seeing rumors about him moving. And yeah, I think that having both Tkachuks on the team would be like the ultimate Sens sicko thing. Like I can't imagine a team with double Tkachuk energy. That's incredible. But I also kind of love that, like, there's this rivalry between the two. And we've, you know, Brady was talking in that same interview about how, like, you know, Matthew was just always better than him because he's older, right? And so Brady was, like, the little brother, like, you know, tagging along in Matthew's road hockey games and, like, playing against players older than him and stuff and always sort of in his brother's shadow. And since Twitter has very much, like, taken Brady's side in this, like, battle of the Tkachuks, and so I'm trying to picture what it would be like to have Matthew come onto the team, and, like, personally, I would bully Matthew. I would be like, Brady is the best Tkachuk, Matthew is okay, but he's only the second best.
That's really funny. I don't think that the Flames are gonna trade Matthew Tkachuk. I could not see that happening.
But yeah.
I'm obsessed with fans making up, like, theories like this, though. And I, you know, mm-hmm. as I've decided now, I believe in The Secret or something. So we might as well try to manifest double Tkachuks. That's wonderful.
Exactly. I also, like, I just love the idea of Brady, like, being this established player on the team. He's probably going to be the captain. He's the heart and soul. You know, he's, probably the best player on the team, or at least one of the best players. And then I'm imagining, like, his older brother coming in, and, like, it's his brother who kind of does the same thing he does, but slightly better. And, like, how would Brady feel about that?
I think also I discovered a while back that both Brady and Matthew are incredibly popular in the Hockey Real Person fic sphere on Tumblr.
I'm not surprised.
I was really surprised. I was like, I mean, I guess it makes sense because they're, like, kind of young and they're brothers, but, like, mm-hmm. you know, I think objectively hockey players are usually hot, and singling out Brady and Matthew Tkachuk is surprising. I guess Matthew Tkachuk's pretty hot, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, Brady's a mm-hmm. kid. Like, he looks like a big kid. And mm-hmm. so I was like, but I guess it makes sense if it's, like, 18-year-olds writing it, or, like, 16-year-olds, I'm assuming.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, I remember, like, back in the day, in, like, 2013, 2014, on, like, Puck Bunny Tumblr, there were some weird choices. Like, there were players that, like, I do not understand why they were so popular on Tumblr, but they were. So, I don't know. I don't always understand the taste.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my job to say who you should think is cute and who you shouldn't think is cute, but it did surprise me. Anyway, my point still stands that, like, I think that Hockey Fanfic Tumblr would lose it if Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk were on the same team. They would 100% come up with some, like, insane fic. So maybe they should do it just for Tumblr, just for hockey Tumblr.
I also, you know, I joked about, like, Brady being overshadowed by his older brother, but, like, honestly, it seems to me like they would love that.
Oh, 100%. I cannot see anything that Fanfic Tumblr would like more. I've never really been a part of Fanfic Tumblr. I've always been from the outside looking in, so maybe I think that they're more, like, weird than they are. Maybe I'm just, like, an outsider, you know, lurking, but mm-hmm. I feel like that would be right up that alley.
Yeah, also, I just want to clarify, there is a common misconception going around Twitter about me specifically. I have been quite open about my past and present as a fanfiction writer, I would like to clarify that I write fanfiction about books. I do not write fanfiction about real people. I am a hockey fan, and I am a fan of fanfiction, and I fully support people's rights to write weird hockey real person fic. I do not think people should be bullied for that. I think it's cool that they do it. However, just want to clarify that I am not a part of that specific community.
Yeah, people also keep being like, you guys should write fic about this. And we're like, no, the mascots are where we stop. We will not write about real people. This is our comfort zone. I will not even write about the person inside the mascot costume. In our universe, the mascot character is the person. That's it.
Just in case anyone listening to this is, like, a person who plays a mascot, just know, like, you're not implicated in this at all. We're imagining your mascot costume as a sentient thing in itself.
If anything, you should see it as a compliment that we think that your mascot persona stands alone and has no person inside it. I think, actually, we're the number one supporters of mascots, if you think about
Probably.
It.
Probably.
We're the number one mascot respective.
Probably.
Yeah. It's quite impressive. Anyway, okay, we've been going on a tangent here, and it's my fault.
But you know what? This is a perfect segue into what do you think is happening now? It's the mascot minute.
I'm so excited.
As always. Yeah, this is pretty good. This one is not super explicit. You can listen to it. If for some reason you just don't like the mascot minute, not sure why you're here, but skip ahead until the ad. And if you're into mascots, stick around. Spartacat and Hunter had developed a passionate pen pal relationship. They discussed life in lockdown, astrology, catnip, their hopes and dreams. In fact, they discussed everything but work. As the Sens Oilers games drew closer, Spartacat got nervous. Neither he nor Hunter could attend the games, but he disliked the idea of them being on opposing teams. It had never bothered him before, but his relationship with Hunter was different. Game one was terrible. He watched the Oilers score one goal after another and felt anger bubble up deep in his furry belly. Hunter would be enjoying this, of course, and knowing that made him feel resentful.
Sorry. I'm thinking about his furry belly. The morning of game two, Spartacat was close to a meltdown. Why hadn't he talked about work with Hunter? Why was he so upset? Why did he keep dating NHL mascots when there were so many other sports leagues out there? Was he subconsciously seeking out a difficult relationship? Was he to blame for his many failed relationships? The doorbell interrupted his thoughts. He swung open the door expecting the mailman, not thinking about his uncombed mane and stained shirt. Hunter flashed a dazzling smile at him. Hi, Sparty. Do you want to go for a walk?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
That was lovely. I loved that.
Thank you. I am excited to see. I mean, I kind of know what happens because I help write these. But, you know, I'm sort of, like, trying to come up with some stories in my head, and I've been enjoying it. It's, I don't know, maybe I am a fanfic writer now. I think I've been a fanfic writer for years, actually.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Fanfic is a wide umbrella. There's lots of stuff that counts as fanfiction, and this definitely does. Anyways, on the topic of mascots... I feel like we always have stuff, mascot stuff to talk about before and after the mascot minute. Like, there's just so much happening. Gritty, obviously, was at Lake Tahoe recently. My favorite thing about this is that, like, I don't pay that much attention to, like, what's happening around the NHL, and I knew that, like, there was an outdoor game happening at Lake Tahoe. I thought there was just one, or, like, one at a time, and so there was one game happening, and I just kept seeing all these videos of Gritty there, and I knew that the Flyers weren't playing in this game, but I was like, oh, okay, Gritty's there. I literally didn't even question it until, like, the next day when the Flyers played an outdoor game.
Yeah.
Poppy, do you think that the NHL picked the Flyers for an outdoor game exclusively because of Gritty?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, I think the Flyers have such a, like, pull now in terms of being entertaining to watch specifically because of Gritty. So, like, I'm serious about that. I think that that has so much to do with their marketing and, like, what they get to do now. I mean, maybe I'm, like, overestimating it, but that's the vibe I get, at least.
Honestly, like, you know, I obviously don't like any team other than the Sens. I'm very much, like, the Sens rule and everybody else I, like, hate. However, like, I've started to kind of like the Flyers. I feel like their team identity is, like, something that I really enjoy. It's kind of similar to the Sens. They're big rivals of the Penguins, and then, like, obviously Gritty is just, like, amazing. So I've caught myself, like, kind of enjoying the Flyers.
Yeah, I'm not too much of a hater of other teams, to be fair. Like, I just kind of, you know, so I definitely, like, I'm fine with Philly. It's not a team that has, like, a team I hate. There's, like, teams that I just actively hate for, I don't know, reasons, I guess. But I think Gritty really makes the Flyers so much more attractive and so much more fun to root for. I don't know if that makes us, like, insanely shallow, but, like, who cares? I mean, again, hockey's just entertainment at the end of the day, right? So they've found a really good way to market their team, like, a very, very good way to market their team. And I definitely think that that opens doors for them.
Yeah, I remember seeing tweets that are like, Gritty has literally done more to grow the game than Connor McDavid. And, like, honestly, that's true. Like, I see Tumblr posts with Gritty all the time. Like, it's incredible. We did talk about this in the last episode. Yeah, but, like, amazing how much Gritty has done for the game of hockey.
It is true, though, like, 100%. I mean, like, this podcast I listen to that only talks about, like, celebrities that are minorly, like, D-list celebrities, they talk about Gritty. They don't even talk about sports.
Oh, wow.
Like, or, like, they talk about it as little as possible. So it really does have something quite special there. Anyway, the outdoor games were really funny because the NHL did not consider the sun. I love that. It's so funny. Like, the ice just started melting.
And it apparently, like, it was really hard to see, too, because of, like, the sun reflecting off the ice.
The pictures of, like, the goalies with, like, the sunglasses under the mask. God, that was so funny. And it's, like, I don't know, like, a lot of people pointed out it's literally, like, when you go on the Rideau Canal and it's been, like, a really sunny day and you just cannot skate properly because it's just slush. That's what they had, but for, like, professional hockey players who are used to playing on, like, really, really good ice. It's so funny. That is, like, really just such an amazing, you know, such an iconic rivalry is the NHL versus the Sun.
And honestly, like, I thought this was a really fun thing. Like, the visuals were great. It actually looked great, like, at sunset, too. I think that it was really cool that the NHL tried this. It looked really fun. It looked great on TV. I didn't watch it, but the pictures I saw looked great.
Oh, beautiful.
Even with this, like, hilarious mishap, I think this was a huge win. I love this.
I think it was a really good idea. Like, I mean, it was, like, talked about a lot just how beautiful the location was. Like, it was so nice. The problem is just that, you know, they didn't consider the sun. That was a big L for the
team.
But you know, like, aside from that, it was a beautiful location. It would have technically been a wonderful idea. I mean, I think people were really into it, you know, but maybe should have considered some stuff.
Probably, yeah. You know who else was really, really into it? The Boston Bruins. And I hate the Bruins so much, and I hate how much like, fun they seemed and how much I enjoyed their outfits on game day. And, like, afterward, David Pasternak was like, yeah, we were all dancing to Barbie Girl, and then we had to interrupt the dance party to, like, talk to the media. I hate how much I enjoyed that.
Yeah, as someone who just said that I'm not, like, a huge hater, I do hate the Boston Bruins, and I'm very upset that they're so much fun. I think that's,
and also,
like,
okay, we roasted David Pasternak during the summer when we did our episode with Jared, and he had, Pasternak had a terrible outfit, so apparently he's redeemed himself now, because he was also wearing those cool sunglasses, right? Like, he had an especially good outfit.
It was really fun. I mean, honestly, like, it was a lot of fun. I respect that. I think they were good. Like, I think that's such a fun thing to do. I think that we need more of that stuff, you know? And it obviously looks like it's fun for the players as well. So, you know, just, like, do more of it. It looked really fun. It looked like the players were having a really good time. And I hope that they'll, like, continue doing that kind of stuff. But we'll see. I mean, the NHL is, like, not exactly known as ideal for doing, like, fun things that show personality.
Not exactly. So we'll see what comes of this.
Yeah, 100%. But that was really cool. And then, I wanted to talk about the PWHPA, briefly at least. Because the Dream Gap Tour is going to start, like, literally, well, I guess tomorrow from when we're recording. So probably the day before you hear this. it's starting at Madison Square Garden on February 28th, which is tomorrow for us. And it's going to re-air on March 1st. So if you're listening to this on March 1st, you can still watch it. And Minnesota's going to be playing New Hampshire. And I guess, you know, I've definitely lost sight of the PWHPA during the NWHL season that, you know, obviously was cut short, so that's unfortunate. And they've gotten some, like, pretty big partnerships. I mean, they're partnering with the Rangers for this, and with Sportsnet, and with the NHL Network, so that it can be broadcast in both the US and Canada. And then they've also, like, announced partnerships with the Leafs and the Blackhawks. And they've got a partnership with CBC now. They've gotten, like, a bunch of big sponsorship deals recently. Which is, like, amazing. I mean, that's really exciting. They're obviously, like, very much focusing on partnering with the NHL. In, like, the games and, I'm assuming, like, their business model.
Yeah. It's, like, it's interesting. Like, I don't know that much about women's hockey. Like, I'm just kind of a fan and a casual observer. PWHPA has always been very focused on, like, yeah, trying to get a partnership with the NHL, which I'm not a huge fan of personally. Well, it's complicated because, like, they're, like, part of the reason why they're doing this is that they're, you know, they need money for a, like, viable league, right? And their idea is, like, the NWHL, their model is not working. And, like, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but, like, there's a lot with the NWHL. I know I was very, like, you know, complimentary of them in the last episode, but, like, there are legitimate reasons why players didn't want to play there. And they've very much been, like, prioritizing the growth of the game over, like, player safety and things. So, like, there are legitimate problems with the NWHL, and the PWHPA is basically saying, like, hey, we want a viable league that actually has a lot of money and can actually, you know, pay the players and, you know, provide, like, a safe working environment the way that the NWHL's model hasn't been able to, like, to work. That was a bad sentence. I'm sorry, but, like,
no, I totally get what you're saying.
And so I do agree with that. Like, I think that they need major investors and stuff, and it's really nice to see the major investors. I don't trust the NHL to, like, build a good women's hockey league, personally.
Yeah, I think that's really tricky. I mean, the NWHL, I don't know if we discussed this in our last episode or not, but there's been some, like, you know, like some really terrible environments in the past for the players, you know, not getting proper transportation or proper rinks to play at, you know, in some cases not even having a changing room, that kind of thing. So I can understand the, like, concern, and that some players just do not want to go back to the NWHL. And I'm not, like, gonna pick sides here. I mean, I just think it's fun if I can watch women's hockey.
Yeah, me neither.
So that's really nice. I understand your concern about basically attaching yourself to the NHL and kind of making the league's business model and the success dependent on NHL partnership is risky. But, you know, like, PWHPA is pretty open about the fact that they're very much wanting to collaborate with the NHL. I'm sort of curious to see how that continues. I'm also, I mean, again, like, this is pure speculation, but the Leafs never said anything about the Toronto team and the NWHL. And I'm wondering if that might have something to do with the fact that they're now getting, like, a PWHPA Toronto team, and that they were working on a deal. Like, I'm not sure if that was considered sort of a, I don't know, conflict of interest or not.
A lot of people were speculating about that, yeah.
It would explain why some NHL teams didn't publicly, like, support the NWHL teams in their area or their cities. It's kind of a shame that there's now these, like, I guess, rival... Well, the PWHPA is not a league, right? It's a players association. But it's kind of a shame that there's these rival groups. I do, on the other hand, completely support the PWHPA in saying that they want, like, professional standards for professional players. They've got, like, every right to demand that. But, you know, it's sort of a shame to have that rivalry, and I don't know what this will mean for players who've chosen to go into the NWHL in the long run. It's so hard to predict that, and so weird to have that situation, you know?
Yeah, it's really complicated, and I'm not, like, you know, as I said, I'm just kind of a casual observer. Like, I'm just here to watch hockey, and the PWHPA has a lot of, like, Olympic athletes and stuff. Like, these are players that I know from the Olympics, from the national teams and stuff. It's, I kind of always go back and forth on it, because on the one hand, like, I really don't like the way that the NWHL has just, like, prioritized, you know, growing the game and just, like, completely screwed over their players. Like, there's so much stuff that's come out about this. The Victory Press had a really good article on this, in, I think, May 2020 or something like that, about just, like, the working environment that's just absolutely horrifying. Like, it's awful. And I really, really don't think that's a good business model. You know, obviously I love the Toronto Six, but, like, the fact that they prioritized expansion over, like, all the other things they could do, and the fact that they're thinking about more expansion is, like, I can't believe that. It's really, really awful. But on the other hand, I haven't liked where the PWHPA has been looking for their funding. Like, you know, there was obviously a lot of association with Barstool a while ago, and, like, the constant, like, asking the NHL for for a league and stuff like that. Like, I haven't necessarily loved that, and I don't know, maybe it's me, like, naively believing in the NWHL, but I kind of feel like really big investments in the NWHL would fix a lot of those problems, right? Like, not that I think that, you know, they have managed their money well. I think that money should have gone to different places, right? Like, I think that there's been some mismanagement, but I do think that, like, a large investment could help them fix some of the problems that they had. I don't know. It's weird.
No, I totally understand where you're coming from. I mean, like, it's hard for us to really understand, you know, what the underlying issues are and what's happening behind closed doors. I can understand people who went into the NWHL because it's where you could play hockey, you know, like it's where you now have the opportunity to play professional hockey. And I can especially understand that from young players, people who have been playing on university teams or who are just out of college, you know, that kind of situation. But then I guess you could also say that there is a concern that these young players are not in a position where they can demand as much from the league that they're playing in. And so, you know, like they can prioritize expansion over, you know, paying their players well, for example, if you're in a situation where, you know, there's young players who are hungry for the opportunity to prove themselves. And so they will play probably for less than they deserve. Or, I mean, obviously for less than they deserve. I mean, they aren't being paid as much as they should get as professional athletes. But that being said, I loved watching the NWHL. I don't want to like demonize the NWHL. I don't want to demonize the PWHPA just because some of their players were very pro connecting with Barstool. I think it's such a mixed bag. And also, obviously, there were players in the NWHL who were very supportive of a Barstool collaboration. So, you know, there's no, there's no saying, you know, one is better than the other. And I think that what the PWHPA stands for in general, which is, you know, giving female hockey players the opportunity to play at a level that, you know, is worthy of their skill, is completely fair. So it's like a weird time, I guess, for women's hockey in North America. But I'm excited to see, I'm excited to watch the games. I mean, I'm really like, you know, any opportunity to watch women's hockey rules. I'm excited that they've got good deals. I'm excited that they get to play at like Madison Square Garden tomorrow, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's nice. And like, I also don't think it's a, like you said, I don't think it's a coincidence that it's mostly like high profile Olympic athletes who are, who left the NWHL. Like that does strike me as suspicious. And yeah, like, I don't want to seem like I'm taking a side, like it's such a complicated situation, and I'm interested to see how it plays out. And yeah, we got some women's hockey a while back, and we get some more women's hockey now, and that sounds like fun. They're still talking about the Women's Worlds that was supposed to be in Halifax this year. Or no, was it going to be in Halifax last year and I was going to miss it? And then they were like, no, it'll be this year. I forget what it was. But they're still kind of hoping to do it during the summer. And I'm like waiting, like, you know, don't know when I'm going to be going back to Ottawa for a break or something. But I want to know that I want to make sure that I'm in Halifax for the Women's Worlds. That should be a lot of fun, assuming that we shut down the new community spread. We'll see. We'll see how that works.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a weird time for professional sports in general. I mean, like, there's no saying what's coming next. And
yeah, and I'm saying that I want to attend the Women's Worlds, but like, to be clear, this is under the only on the condition that there is still no community spread in Halifax at that point. I'm not gonna like go to a super spreader event, even if they allow fans, which I don't think Nova Scotia will anyways. Anyways, yeah, it's just very weird and interesting.
Yeah, but you know, I just wanted to like have it brought up. I think it's really heartening to see that, you know, this is happening, that some of these games are gonna start literally like this week, and hopefully we'll just like get some positive developments in women's hockey. And I hope that this doesn't, I feel like you can sometimes sense tension on Twitter. If you like follow people invested in, yeah, if you follow people who are involved in women's hockey in on Twitter, like there can be some like animosity, which is such a shame because everybody's trying to achieve the same goal. And there's no point in, aside from like, obviously, I think that it's okay to be like, we should not be partnering with Barstool. Like, I think that's a completely reasonable, completely reasonable critique, a completely reasonable thing to like say no, you know, like we should, or, you know, when we say, okay, we need to make sure that our players are being treated well, that they have locker rooms and toilets, like very basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's completely fair, but I think that, you know, the prospect of infighting because of different approaches is, you know, just such a shame. Like, Because we're all working towards the same goal, and you know, I don't know how this is gonna end. I mean, now having like two different like Toronto teams and stuff is such a strange situation to be in. So, you know, it would be lovely if at some point they could just like come together and make it work somehow. That was my little women's hockey rant. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
I mean, I did. I don't know if the listeners did. anyways, so that is the end of this episode. Our last segment, of course, is Big Rig Energy. And we have decided this week to, I say this week as if we do weekly episodes, like, this month we have decided to award Big Rig Energy to Twitter user @Brochensky, who invented the Sensicko meme.
He did the original Sensicko edit, and it's truly, like, so good. He's also just, like, a cool guy.
I also like that, like, you know, there are some memes that sort of take off, like, some tweets that are really famous. Like, you think of, like, the Feeble Math, like, Cody CC, more like, Kaka PP tweet. Like, every once in a while you get, like, those tweets that really take off. And Brochensky has now had two of those, because he also invented, if I remember correctly, Sens are cool, Leafs are poo.
God, he's an elite poster.
Right? Like, an elite poster. The fact that he's now had, like, two just iconic Sens memes that, like, everybody knows about. Amazing.
Yeah, I love this. I love this for him. I also think he's just, like, as I said, a very cool guy in general, so.
We've both met him in person. He's great.
He's delightful, and I'm happy that this meme took off because it's so funny, and, like, I'm just loving seeing it spread, so he definitely deserves
Never forget where it came from.
No, you always...
Pay respect to Brochensky.
Exactly. He, like, deserves... He deserves to be honored for his work. For his elite posting. And with that, I'd say thank you for listening to this Amelnican Life. You can find us on Twitter @AmelnicanLife.
Or you can email us at thisamelnicanlife@gmail.com. Our music is by Steve Frouse. Our logo is by Lena Novi and Angus Fitzgerald Clark.
And for bonus content, you can find us on patreon.com/thisamelnicanlife. I've been informed that you have to go to the link directly. You cannot search us in Patreon because some of our content is marked explicit. Just make sure you go to patreon.com/thisamelnicanlife. And then we're working on merch, finally. So, you know, just keep an eye on our social media. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, we'll obviously post there as well. And hopefully when this episode goes up or shortly thereafter, there should be some Thisamelnican merch available.
Very exciting. I can't wait to buy all of it and wear it.
Yeah, it's going to be great when I'm decked out in my own merch.
None of you are ready for the stuff that we have come up with. It's truly iconic. And, like, some of it is, like, maybe five people will buy this, but I think it's so funny that I'm just, like, really happy with it.
Yeah, so we'll be sort of, you know, releasing some designs at a time as we sort of figure out how to do this. And then finally, you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts, and please rate and review us on iTunes. We say this every week. I should probably say it at the beginning of the episode as well, but please do, because we have a really mean review and it's breaking my heart.
You guys aren't listening to us. You're not reviewing us. Please do it.
And with that, goodbye.
Bye.